So we come to our book of Daniel, and we're doing the introduction, which is a Hebrew introduction, written at the time, current, before the stories are reeled in, for in the Aramaic. And the stories cover these things, and I'm about to read it to you. In the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim of Judah, back there, this is before the fall of Jerusalem, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord, Yahweh, let King Jehoiakim of Judah fall into his power as well as some of the vessels of the house of God. These he brought to the land of Shinar, Babylon, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his gods. Then the king commanded his palace master Ashpenaz to bring some of the Israelites of the royal family and of the nobility, young men without physical defect and handsome, versed at every branch of wisdom, endowed with knowledge and insight, and competent to serve in the king's palace. They were to be taught the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the royal rations of food and wine. They were to be educated for 3 years, so that at the end of that time they could be stationed at the king's court. Among them was Daniel. Now, that Daniel appears, is mentioned in the book of Ezekiel, as one of the legendary, alongside Job, because there were stories of Job going around well before the Bible, and Noah. So Noah, Job and Daniel are the three figures, and Daniel is also mentioned there as the wisdom. He was renowned for wisdom. This, I don't know if I should say, mythical or legendary figure of the ancient past. Well, that's the one we're talking about. His name is taken in here. And in Ugarit at Rosh Shamra, they've discovered that Daniel was also mentioned in their literature as a famous, wise man of long ago. Okay. So this Daniel, the same name, is one of them, and Hananiah is another, Mishael is another, and Azariah from the tribe of Judah. The palace master gave them other names, because they had to get local names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar, Hananiah he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, these are named after various gods of Babylon, part of the name, and Azariah he called Abednego. Try not to put your hand up for reading when these come into the readings. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself. See how current this is? This is way back then, but this is being written at the time when the same pressures were on the people, 170 BC. So Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the royal rations of food and wine. So he asked the palace master to allow him not to defile himself. Now, God allowed Daniel to receive favour and compassion from the palace master. So the palace master was friendly, so God must have organised it. The palace master said to Daniel, "I'm afraid of my lord the king. He has appointed your food and your drink. If he should see you in poorer condition than the other young men of your own age, you'd endanger my head with the king." Thus, Daniel asked the guard whom the palace master had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. You can then compare our appearance with the appearance of the young men who eat the royal rations and deal with your servants according to what you observe." So he agreed to this proposal and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, it was observed that they appeared better and fatter than all the young men who'd been eating the royal rations. So the guard continued to withdraw their royal rations and their wine that they were supposed to drink, and he gave them vegetables. Very modern. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and skill in every aspect of literature and wisdom, Daniel also had insight into all visions and dreams. Ah, this becomes important. How are you going? Good. At the end of the time that the king had set for them to be brought in, the palace master brought them into the presence of Nebuchadnezzar. And the king spoke with them. And among them all, no one was found to compare with Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they were stationed in the king's court in every matter of wisdom and understanding concerning which the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel continued there until the first year of King Cyrus. So we're right through till the end of the... So he's there all through the Babylonian exile. In the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed such dreams that his spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. So the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dreams. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had such a dream that my spirit is troubled by the desire to understand it." Next verse, interesting. The Chaldeans said to the king, brackets, in Aramaic. And then we launch into the language of Aram, the Aramaic language, which is similar to Hebrew. They're both Semitic, both Western Semitic. The lettering today that we use, and even at this time, for Hebrew, they took over the alphabet, the writing, the way they wrote their letters from Aramaic. Aramaic was the language of everybody by now, and they had to translate the Hebrew because they didn't quite understand it. With us in Latin, you could get a bit of it, but you need it. And Aramaic was the language that Jesus spoke. So that's our introduction. You with me? Is this going all right, or is it a bit silly? You're quite happy to hear it? Okay, well, let's see how we go in here. Right. So then we come to the first story. This is an old story. Oral tradition had handed this down for maybe 200 years, 100 years, nobody knows. Probably, they say, during the time of the Greek period, so under the Ptolemies or under the... So it's probably then, but it's going back to stories that they love to talk and share, and I'll try one with you now. The Chaldean said to the king in Aramaic, now we move into the language, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream and we'll reveal the interpretation." They're paid to do it, they should be able to manage it. The king answered the Chaldeans, "This is a public decree. If you do not tell me both the dream..." God, that's putting it hard. Mm-hmm. He's not going to tell them the dream and get the interpretation. If they're that smart, they have to tell him both the dream and the interpretation. So the chips are right up on this lot. He's been paying them for years. "You shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses will be laid in ruins. But if you do tell me the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honour. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation." They answered a second time, "Let the king first tell his servants the dream, then we can give the interpretation." The king said, "I know with certainty that you're trying to gain time. Because you see, I have firmly decreed, if you do not tell me the dream, there's but one verdict for you. You've agreed to speak lying and misleading words to me until things take a turn. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you will be able to give me the interpretation." The Chaldeans answered the king, "There's no one on earth can reveal what the king demands. In fact, no king, however great and powerful, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king is asking is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with mortals." Hello, there's a bit of a list. Something's happening now. It's going to occur soon. Because of this, the king flew into a violent rage. They're all very mature, these people. And commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. All the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. That could include Daniel, couldn't it? I mean, okay. The decree was issued. The wise men were about to be executed. And they looked for Daniel and his companions to execute them. Then Daniel responded with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the king's chief executioner. Straight out of Mikado. Who had gone out to execute the wise men of Babylon. He asked Arioch, the royal official, why is the decree of the king so urgent? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. So Daniel went in and requested that the king give him time and he'd tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his home and informed his companions, in case you've forgotten their names, Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah. This is typical, isn't it, of oral stories. They keep repeating things and repeating them because you haven't got anything to write down, you have to remember it. And he told them to seek mercy from God, the God of heaven, concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions with the rest of the wise men of Babylon might not perish. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. And Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, blessed be the name of God from age to age, for wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons, deposes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. To you, O God of my ancestors, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power, and have now revealed to me what we asked of you, for you have revealed to us what the king ordered. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I'll give the king the interpretation. Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said to him, I found someone among the exiles from Judah, a man who can tell the king the interpretation. The king said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to tell me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered the king, no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or diviners can show to the king the mystery that the king is asking. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has disclosed to King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen at the end of days. Your dream and the vision of your head as you lay in bed were these. To you, O king, as you lay in bed, came thoughts of what would be hereafter, and the revealer of mysteries disclosed to you what is to be. But as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me because of any wisdom that I have, more than any other living being, but in order that the interpretation may be known to the king, and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. And it describes the dream. You were looking, O king, and lo, there was a great statue. This statue was huge, its brilliance extraordinary. It was standing before you, and its appearance was frightening. The head of that statue was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. Clay feet, eh? As you looked on, a stone was cut out, not by human hands, and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken in pieces and became like chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, so that not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. Now we will tell the king its interpretation. You ready? You, O king, the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, the might, and the glory, into whose hand he has given human beings wherever they live, the wild animals of the field and the birds of the air, and whom he has established as ruler over them all, you are the head of gold. That went over well with Nebuchadnezzar. After you, so head of gold, the Babylonian king. After you, see what's happening? From the vantage point of the story now as it's been developed, they're looking back to what happened in history up to their time. It's not looking that way, it's looking back and developing the story as different kingdoms came and took over. So, after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, and yet a third kingdom of bronze which shall rule over the whole earth. And there shall be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron. Just as iron crushes and smashes everything, it shall crush and shatter all these. As you saw, the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it shall be divided kingdom. The divided kingdom of the Seleucids and the Ptolemies that we've just seen. But some of the strength of the iron will still be in it, as you saw the iron mixed with the clay. As the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly brittle. As you saw the iron mixed with clay, so will they mix with one another in marriage. But they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. There'd been marriages between the Ptolemies and the Seleucids to try and get dynastic peace, but they never quite worked. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Nor shall this kingdom be left to another people. It shall crush, this is Judah clearly, eh? It shall crush all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. It can't destroy us. Just as you saw that a stone was cut from the mountain, not by hands, but that it crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has informed the king what shall be hereafter. The dream is certain, its interpretation trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, worshipped Daniel, and commanded that a grain offering and incense be offered to him. And the king said to Daniel, truly, imagine the king of Babylon saying this, but it's not being written by the king of Babylon, truly your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. For you have been able to reveal this mystery. Then the king promoted Daniel, gave him many gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, so that's who you know is important in advancement, over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel remained at the king's court. The mystery revealed to Daniel in a vision. The head of gold, you are that head of gold, that's Babylon. The chest and arms and middle thighs of bronze are the Medes and the Persians. The legs of iron, etc., divided the Ptolemies and the Seleucids, and the stone not cut by human hands that's going to crush them all, believe it or not, is Judah.